Welcome to the Well and Witchy podcast. I'm your host, Britt Epley, and I'm an eclectic witch, wellness and mindset coach, healer, and spiritual mentor. If you're looking to fearlessly rise up and be the woman you were destined to be and live your best life with both wellness and spiritual flows, then you are in the right place. Think of this podcast as your go-to for all things magic, inspiration, and empowerment. I'll be spilling the tea about witchcraft, spell work, spirituality, intuitive wellness, self-love, and much more. Leave it to me to help provide you with the tools and resources to unlock the inner goddess and power within you, hone your sacred craft, and live life in a more meaningful and magical way. I am so grateful that our paths have crossed today and you are here. Thank you so much for pushing play. Now let's do this, witches. Wow, you guys, now that I got episode one off my plate, I feel so much better about episode two. Like, I was shaking in my boots for episode one, not gonna lie, but episode two is about to set the framework for a lot of things. And you should get out a pen and paper because I'm dropping some info on you. This is something I've researched for quite a long time and something that when I first started my practice, I was very confused about. And that is terminology in the witch community. So episode two is going to be all about witchy vocab. Break out your flashcards because we're going to do some learning. As a witch, I get asked a lot of questions. The first question normally is, do you worship Satan? And I'm giggling because everyone's craft is different. Hey, different strokes for different folks. But if you're a pagan, technically you don't even recognize the Abrahamic form of Satan. So no, moving on. Second question I usually get is, do I sacrifice animals? Fuck no. I love animals. Get out of here. And then some other questions I get are you religious? Are you a Wiccan? What about pagan? And the list kind of goes on from there. So like mentioned, when I first started my craft, I just kind of looked around at all of the people in the witchy community that I could find. And I just was really overwhelmed with all the info. And I just felt like, if I didn't do things this way, then I wasn't doing it right. Or like, if I didn't do my spell this way that it said in this book, then it's not going to happen. Screw that. This episode is going to open your eyes to so many different things in order to help you form your craft based by your rules and your means. I'm not one for labels. I'm all about just being you, but humans love labels because it's a way of helping us identify similar people to us that we can find support and solidarity with. Like, sure, there's a lone wolf from time to time, but for the most part, humans have a pack mentality. We want to belong, and we want to belong in a group of others like us who just get it. We want to be in a place where we feel safe, seen, and understood, and like, those are all awesome things, so like, of course. But I think breaking down some of these key labels in the witchy community and sharing info for you is really important to better understanding each other. Because there are so many forms of paganism, witch practices, and Wicca out there that, like I said, it can be overwhelming. So hopefully this clears some things up for you. But I want to start by asking you, what does the word witch mean to you? Oh, goodness. Like, close your eyes, picture it. Do you picture the Wizard of Oz? Do you picture black hats, cats, and brooms? A lot of folks tend to imagine that Hollywood stereotypical version of witches. And I get that, but Hollywood got a lot wrong. But then again, it did get some things right. For me, witch is a heavy part of my identity. I want the community to continue reclaiming this word, though. Like, it's a strong statement of feminine power. It's a form of rebellion in a way. It's like putting up that middle finger to society telling me I need to be someone I'm not. It's a, hey, I know that there's more out there for me than what you're feeding me. Like, society, you're feeding me a line of bullshit and I'm not about it. Like, that's what being a witch is for me. But whatever witch means to you and your identity is your truth and yours alone. Like, I'm not here to judge that. I just want you to live your best life through witchy and wellness practices. In the same ways I reclaim the word witch, and like many women reclaim that word, a lot of people reclaim the word heathen as well. So like I mentioned in episode one, my boyfriend is Norse pagan, and we are in a few different Norse pagan groups. We also have our own Norse pagan historically accurate fighting group. I equally identify with heathen like I do with witch, and I take that once negative term and I own it as something positive. Another good example is like the groups Heathens Against Hate. So we all learn about different things in different ways, and I just feel like a lot of times people view the Norse pagan folk as racist or neo-Nazis, when in reality we've taken back that term heathen and shaped it into Heathens Against Hate in order to block people who are hateful and racist from these communities. And in case you were wondering, racists don't get into Valhalla. I hate to break it to you, bud, but like, no. Another thing that irks me, I guess, is just the way we as humans shape things in order to fit our own narratives and shape, and we twist things and we twist the truth and we twist fact in order to justify our shitty beliefs. Like, cut that out. If we're going anywhere in the next few years, it's going to start to be like, we're done with this. So something else to think about: where we're going is we're taking back these terms from the people who don't identify as them, and we're reshaping what these definitions are, because only us who are living this truth day to day know that truth. Only we know who we are. So why, like I mentioned in episode one, why do other people get to decide who we are and define who we are? Hatred for those in our community, and just like hatred at its core, which we'll get to in another episode, stems from a lack of understanding and in some ways a lack of control for women altogether. Like, there's nothing more powerful to me in this world than a woman who is so freaking sure of herself and her inner powers, which is why witch, in quotes, like the word witch, has gained so much momentum as a misogynistic slur. If you make a woman question herself, that power diminishes. Many of you may still be in the broom closet, like I was for quite some time, and that's a-okay. We're all on our own journeys, we're all on our own pace, but like I mentioned in episode one, I remember being in my past toxic relationship in college where a past ex told me that spiritual stuff is all BS. Chakras, Brit, really? Is this Naruto or something? And as a Naruto stan, I low-key cried internally. But to many of us, witchcraft, this path, the sacred path, whatever you want to call it, it isn't just fun and games. It's our lives. Some witches choose to remain in the broom closet their whole lives because, you know, for whatever reason, maybe they work in government, or maybe they work with children, or maybe they live in a super conservative community, aka like me, living in Tennessee, where I can't even put up my LGBTQ flag on my house I'm renting because I'm surrounded by differing opinions. But maybe you're just simply afraid that the word witchcraft still carries way too much baggage for you, and that's okay. Like I said, we're all on our same pace. If you need me to come into that broom closet and just chill with you for a bit, I'll bring you some coffee, I'll tell you some dad jokes, like, it's gonna be cool. Just stay where you're comfortable, but also know that the witch community is growing so much, and that there's a place for you at the table to be you and be your truth. Remember episode one? Like, it's okay to be you and speak your truth. But the funny thing to me about witchcraft and witches is you could be super close to a witch and never know it. With the rise of witchery, I think it's best to always do your research, do your due diligence, and learn before jumping on it. I've been practicing for a while, but my beliefs and identity still changes because I'm always learning new things. I want to be super de-duper clear, yes, super de-duper, that I will never hate someone because their path is different from mine and I may disagree. I believe everyone has something to teach you. I don't know everything. What? Shocker. Yeah, I don't know everything, but I do know quite a bit, and that's what I'm going to share, is my experiences, what I've researched and learned along the way. And if you disagree, hey, I'm okay with that. I love a good conversation. Like I said, everyone has something to teach you, and that's okay. It's more so just getting different forms of information out there and accessible to people who are trying to learn. I could go on a rant right now, like 0 to 60, about some of the gatekeepers in the witchy and wellness communities. If you are seeing success in something, why wouldn't you want to use that to help someone else? It baffles me. I'm also going to kind of go a little bit problematic here, and I'm not trying to be holier than thou, but I will admit it gets me a little peeved sometimes seeing people just jump on the witchy aesthetic and trend. It irks me when businesses profit off of witchcraft. Like, does anyone else remember that like Sephora witch box thing? You know, it was just kind of like for people who dabble. I don't know. I was a little bit unnerved by that. When I saw it come out, I was just like, not quite. But it makes sense. It makes sense that witchcraft and magic is on the rise amongst millennial women. Like, shit, I'm a millennial. I'm a woman. I mean, we are already like diving into some spiritual practices in their most basic form, like meditation, yoga, tarot. Shit, I've loved astrology since I learned I was an Aquarius. Mindfulness, self-love, and crystals. Like, all that is already something that millennial women enjoy. So it just makes sense that there is a rise in witchcraft and paganism. But I think where I'm getting the most unnerved and where I'm talking specifically is, I'm already laughing, sorry, is those who have watched one episode of American Horror Story Coven and you think you're the supreme. Like, cool. I'm glad you feel inspired, but that ain't it, sis. I want you to know that for many of us, again, this is our life. We use magic in the mundane. Many of us have been studying, learning, and developing our crafts for years. And I'm also kind of getting onto the whole cultural appropriation thing, which again, future episode to come, but that's a whole other rabbit hole. Simply using the label witch for clout and clout alone is just a no. It's a no. But it's also important to remember, like, you don't have to be born into a witchy family just to be one. You don't have to have a great, great, great grandma who read palms on the countryside. Like, if anyone tells you this is the right and only way to be a witch, you should run as fast as possible because your life experiences are what are going to shape your craft. As well as if you chose to be a solitary practitioner or in a formal coven, your experiences are going to shape that for you. So again, there's a seat for you in this community, but I ask that if you choose to be a witch, if you choose to identify as one, do it pure and don't make the rest of us look bad because there's already enough of that. And that's what I'm trying to overcome is like, this isn't a game. This isn't just putting on some Stevie Nicks and throwing a hat on and going to brunch and, oh, Karen, your red lipstick looks so spooky. Like, oh, thanks, Bridget. I got it from no, like, this is the ish. So before I come off really hateful, I'm just going to stop there. But one of the reasons why I founded Well and Witchy was because I kept running into a lot of problematic people. Like, let's look at it. I'm going to go there. Let's look at this like Harry Potter. We hated those people who were like, pure bloods only. All you mud bloods are horrible people. Like, we hated that, didn't we? So it's not okay to shame or exclude others based on lineage in our world either. Like, if you come from a non-magical family or you aren't close with your family or have severed ties with them out of necessity, like, that has nothing to do with whether or not you can be a witch. There's also the pressure on social media to be so put together and perfect as a witch. Literally go to Instagram right now and type in the hashtag like witches of Instagram or witchery or witches of IG, witch aesthetic, and tell me what you find. Like you're gonna see some crazy over the top stuff, like way put together. And as a lazy witch myself, sometimes I'm just like, shoo, if you got the serotonin to do that, go for it. Like, oh, you go, Glen Coco. But don't let that imagery and don't let that suck you into a comparison trap that you have to be on that level in order to be a successful witch. The most important thing your craft should reflect is this one thing, and that's just you. So if you feel an urge to exert your inner power and you're having those vibes, you're feeling your intuition, and you're ready to get what you want out of this life, well, in my opinion, also fighting the patriarchy and practicing intersectional feminism, of course, you qualify as a witch, bitch. You are that witch. A witch is simply someone who is aware of their own power and puts that power into action. If that's you, then congratulations. You're in. This isn't a club. Now that my little rant is over. Let's jump into the key terms you should know if you're just starting your craft, or maybe if you need a refresher. I'm gonna put a little disclaimer. This may be a little confusing, so bear with me. I'm gonna do my best to make this as easy to understand for you as possible. Witchcraft, Wiccan, pagan, spirituality, religion, it is all kind of in a Venn diagram. So like all the circles connect, some circles are bigger than others, you get it. I'm gonna start with spirituality because to me that's like from the top. So spirituality, from the definitions I've researched, involves the recognition of a feeling or sense of belief that there's something greater than yourself, something more to being human than sensory experience, and that the greater whole of which we are a part of is cosmic or divine in nature. Spirituality is an individual practice and is about having a sense of peace and purpose. So not all spiritual people are pagan, not all spiritual people are witchy, not all spiritual people are Wiccan. You can just be spiritual, but a lot of the stuff overlaps. And then religion is oftentimes confused with spirituality because they also overlap in a few ways. But you can be spiritual and not identify with a formal religion. Like, religion is a specific set of organized beliefs and practices, usually shared by a community or group. Spirituality asks the questions like, what is my purpose? How do I feel connected to the source? How should I live? Where religion puts a being in the place of the source. God, Jesus for Christianity is a good example, Allah for Islam, Vishnu for Hinduism. Religion tells us exactly how we should be, what is right and wrong, and what is true and false. There's a code of conduct. It's why religious arguments are one of the hardest, because what you believe may be the exact opposite of someone else. So how do we decide what or who is actually right? Spirituality, in my opinion, is the solution to that. Like, spirituality broadly focuses less on what's right and wrong and more on just moral code. So is this morally right? Does this harm another person? Does that make sense? Yeah, so again, there's a lot of overlap, but they are very different. And with that covered, I'm gonna just keep on trucking into paganism. So pagan stems from the Latin noun called pagus, which is like around 14th century, but it refers to country dwellers, villagers, rustics, provincial people. The adjective paganus, if I butcher words, we're human, we're gonna keep going. Like Hannah Montana says, everybody makes mistakes. Yeah, that's me. It's my mantra. But the adjective paganus of the country, rural, was derived from this word. So a little history for you. All pagan religions were actually banned in Rome in like 300 something AD. And then almost 400 AD, all pagan religions were banned in Rome. But then like right before that, Christianity became the official religion. So it's like during that time that the purge of the world began, and I hate to use that term, but Christians started calling themselves Christ soldiers, so everyone else was the opposite. And it wasn't until much later that the word pagan came to be associated with the negative labels such as infidel or heathen. If you dig up a dictionary, which I did for this podcast and did my due diligence, you may find even more negative definitions of the word pagan. So the following definitions were taken out of the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Pagan noun means heathen, especially a follower of a polytheistic religion, which we'll get to polytheistic in case you don't know what that means. And also one who has little or no religion and who delights in sensual pleasures and material goods, an irreligious or hedonistic person. Oof. I can say from personal experience, that is not me, but whatever. That's a definition. Somebody made it a thing. I'm just trying to go against the grain. So pagan. Neo-pagan is something you'll see a lot, and that just means new pagan. Neo means new. So while many of us honor the old ways, a lot of us have modernized the practice in order to fit our needs in the current day. So like I mentioned, polytheistic. Most pagans are polytheistic, which is another word you'll hear meaning you recognize multiple gods and deities. Monotheistic then means you only recognize one god. With pagan out of the way, we then go into Wiccan, which it's easy to get confused with pagans and Wiccans because Wiccan is one of the biggest communities in paganism, if that makes sense. So, like, Wicca got its roots in England, and the father of Wicca is known as this fellow named Gerald. Sorry, I love the name Gerald. Gerald! Gerald Gardner is our man. But he was the founder of Wiccan, and this kind of came about in, like, mid-1900s. Wiccan celebrations stem from cycles of the moon, which are more like coven gatherings, business meetings. I call them esbits, esbots, esbats, tomato, tomato, potato, potato. But a sabbat is then, like, where the holidays come in. So a sabbat is like a Wiccan holiday. So we're thinking things like Yule, winter solstice, spring, Ostara, Beltane, Maybun, fall equinox, and so on. So it's easy, again, to make the assumption that all pagans are Wiccan because it is one of the most well-known and extensively studied forms of paganism, but they are separate. In Wicca, witchcraft is considered by Gardner as the craft of the wise, so it's easy to get witch and witchcraft confused with Wiccan forms of witchcraft. So that was really confusing, but I'm getting to it. Wiccans represent themselves as a positive force against threats to our world, so Wiccans don't do harm. The Wiccan Reed, in fact, states that if it harms no one, go for it. If you've heard of the Law of Threefold Return, where anything you do negatively, like hexes, could backfire onto you with equal force or threefold force, you can thank Wiccans for this. Wicca has rites of passage and initiation rituals, specifically if you're joining a coven. But there are also self-initiation rituals as well. There are many wonderful books on Wicca if you'd like to learn more. I can recommend them if you need. But we're going to shift into witch now, like the word witch, W-I-T-C-H. So from what I've gathered throughout history, there hasn't really been a consistent definition of the word witch, which is why I'm down to claim it as you will. Like, witch has different meanings for all of us. The word witch stems from the word Wicca, not to be confused with Wiccan. It's Wicca for a male practitioner and Wiki for a female. And if I'm not pronouncing these right, then you can go over to Google and you can type these words in and you can do some research. But hey, here we are. Back in the day, witch, which is spelled W-I-C-C-H-E, that word witch didn't differentiate from men and women. And then, like, in the 16th century is when we finally see the way we see witch today, W-I-T-C-H, in the split of men and women. So for a formal definition that you'll find for the word witch, it means one that is credited with usually malignant supernatural powers, especially a woman practicing usually black witchcraft, often with the aid of a devil or familiar, sorceress, compared to warlock, which is the male form. The second definition is an ugly old woman, a hag. Wow. The third definition is the polar opposite, a charming or alluring girl or woman. And the fourth definition is a practitioner of Wicca. So you can definitely see why this is confusing and why a lot of people do overlap. But witchcraft is a practice, and as such, it doesn't have to fit into a religious context. Like, a witch is any person that practices magic, witchcraft, and doesn't even have to define their religious views. Like, you'll find Christian witches, pagan witches, and even atheist witches. Different strokes for different folks. But one thing I want to note about witchcraft is, like, you can have secular witchcraft and you can also have non-secular witchcraft. So secular means not working with gods or deities or including them in your practice. Deity work can be a lot to learn at first. So I find that most baby witches are secular and solitary practitioners. Totally fine. But non-secular means you include gods in your practice. Whew. This is a mouthful, right? But for the sake of helping you digest all of that info just now, and, you know, I shot you like 8 definitions, we're going to talk about how these labels coordinate with each other. So I'm a polytheistic, pagan, eclectic witch. I identify with the Norse pantheon and the old gods. I work with many different deities in my craft, though, just for different reasons, but I tend to stick to the Norse gods and goddesses. I'm a pagan because I do not identify with Christianity, and although I am learning about Wiccan practice, I don't quite identify as a full Wiccan either. I do incorporate a lot of the teachings into my craft, which brings me to eclectic witchcraft, because I use elements from the many different ways in order to form a craft that works best for me. Some other niche terms you may have heard about of certain witches is things like kitchen witch, green witch, hedge witch. Like, there are so many different niches, but I find that I love to learn and I'm always learning something new, and if I can incorporate it into my craft, then I'm going to do it. So what can you take from this? By definition, paganism is not technically a religion, don't come for me, but a spirituality. However, many people claim it is a religion, and Wiccan can be seen as a form of pagan religion because it comes with its own set of rites and rules. But even this system, it's so different from person to person, and it doesn't always have a strict boundary or strict guidelines like some religions. So remember when I said this is going to be confusing? Yeah, again, it's kind of how is it different from everyone else? Not all pagans are witches. Not all pagans are Wiccans, but all Wiccans are pagan because it is a neo-pagan sector. Does that make sense? As we learned earlier, witchcraft is a practice. Paganism is a spirituality / religion, depending on who you talk to. But the term witch can stand alone with or without paganism. Not all Wiccans are witches and vice versa. You can be a Wiccan and not engage in witchcraft at all. Another example would be you could be a Christian secular witch. Like, you go to church on Sundays, but you still engage in witchcraft. Like, let's say you love to create self-love spell jars, and you do that, but you aren't asking the Abrahamic God to help you out with that, or to bless the jar, or to make you have more self-love for yourself. You're secular, it's really separate. You can't be a secular Wiccan, though, because in the doctrine, it mentions multiple deities. You can be a secular witch, though. You can also be a monotheistic Wiccan. Again, it's kind of hard because Wiccan does mention multiple deities, but Dianic Wiccan, for example, only honors the goddess. So in Wiccan, you have the two deities, the god and the goddess, but Dianic is monotheistic because it only honors the goddess. So as we're seeing, there's a lot of different identities and ways, but the info at least is really good to know, and it's better to know it to understand others. Like I said, I am still learning, but those breakdowns have helped me understand the many different paths that you can take. Don't let it bog you down. You know, it's so hard sometimes to be bogged down by so much information, but don't let it. For now, just focus on what you can control. So what practices are you aligning the most with right now? What parts of the year do you enjoy celebrating? It is so easy to compare yourself to other witches, Wiccans, pagans, and think like, damn, I'm not doing that. So does that mean I'm wrong? No, you're not wrong. You're just fine. Your power is that you are uniquely you. Do what fulfills you, do what empowers you, and do what's best for you. The main thing here is if you're unsure, just ask. And if someone doesn't want to share, respect that. But don't just assume, and also don't exclude others just because their path and practice is a little bit misunderstood. In fact, I am still working on this one. I'm still working on this one a lot. I'm going to be very transparent with you. If we are going by definitions alone, in my opinion, it does not make any sense to me that someone who identifies as Christian can also be a witch. It fires me up sometimes, but that's because it isn't my path. It isn't my truth. I might not understand it. So on the other hand, it seems funny to me that Christians slaughtered so many witches and that it makes it okay for people to then now be Christian and a witch. Like, Germany was actually like one of the biggest witch hunting capitals of the world. And back in the day, by back in the day, I mean like the 1500s, because in the 1590s, like, it was said that around 500 people were burned at the stake for being witches, which is a little strange considering the place only had like 2,000 residents at that time. And then there's also Salem, which we all know about and how that story goes. But even today, I still get weird DMs from people telling me I'm going to burn in hell and that I need to convert to Christianity and repent for my sins. Like, trust me, I did the youth group thing back in the day. I left when I watched one of my friends get bullied to tears because she was discovering her sexuality. And I didn't know it then, but I was also pansexual. So I'm glad I got out of that. But not everyone's experience is like that. And that's what I'm trying to get at, is like, sometimes I let my past experiences make the decisions for me on how I should feel or how I should feel about someone else's beliefs just because they're different from mine. When we all need to just learn to be a little bit more kind to each other and a little bit more understanding. So a good example of this is when I was in Arizona a few months ago on a business trip, I had a huge chat with one of my teammates who is Christian, and we sat together and we shared our beliefs, and her way of living was, in my opinion, the way Christianity is truly meant to be. Love thy neighbor, do no harm, all of that. And it really opened my eyes to the fact that each community will have its bad eggs and rotten apples. And we can only grow and move past that by banding ourselves with similar people who are aimed at elevating the collective. Even if our collectives are different, like, energy is still energy. So with all that said, I don't want to be problematic by any means, but I just wanted to share where my mind was at. But to help out with this and to help understand different forms of witchcraft a lot better, I'm going to be having a Christian witch join me on a future episode to explain their perspective. So together we can all learn and be informed. Kindness can go such a long way, and like, you can disagree and in a cordial, you can disagree and still be cordial and still be kind. You don't have to belittle anyone. If it sounded that way, if it sounded like I was being belittling or negative, I really want to apologize. That was not my intention. Well and Witchy is inclusive of all, no matter what that path looks like for you. And that's my goal. Even if that means I also have to do the inner work in order to push forward and grow. But what drew me the most to paganism and witchcraft is the freedom and the self-discovery. I believe everyone should be able to believe whatever they want to, as long as that belief does no harm to anyone else. Your spirituality, your religion, your path, your craft, it can be incredibly personal sometimes. So that means do what's best for you. Now that I just word vomited all this information on you, I want you to run with it. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me at wellandwitchy@gmail.com. I also recommend doing your own research to better figure out what path is going to work best for you. Just remember, there is no right way. There's a lot of wrong ways, but there is no right way. So just be you. And if you had to put a label on yourself, what would that be like? I feel like now that I'm putting my brand out there in my business, I'm getting asked a lot of times, I'm getting asked a lot more, like, well, what is your label? Like, what are you? Like, what do you consider yourself as? And before, I never really put much thought into it. So it is important, even if you don't like labels, to at least have a basic understanding of things. So when you meet someone in the community or meet someone who's different from you, yet you're still both pagan or still both witchy or Wiccan or whatever you fall into, you can be able to say, oh, well, I don't know what that's like, but I know what it is. You know, like I understand where you're coming from. Like, especially in times like today where, like, I don't know where you're listening from, but the US is very divided. Like, I'm going to timestamp and date stamp this episode by saying we're about to go into an election period, and it's a very scary time to be in the US because we're so divided. So the least that we can do in order to help each other out and to help elevate each other is give each other some grace, be a little bit more understanding and kind, so that we can move forward and not feel awful with our lives. So yeah, like I said, any questions, feel free to ask. You can find me over on Instagram at wellandwitchy, and you can also find me on my personal at Best Life with Brit, but I'll put some resources in the show notes for you in case you want to keep doing your own research. And just remember, knowledge is power, but so is action. And it's okay to be kind. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, smash that subscribe button, and please be sure to rate and review on iTunes to help further educate and elevate our fellow witches. If you need a little extra magic in your life, I invite you to connect with me on Instagram at wellandwitchy and check out my website, wellandwitchy.com. Remember, witches, you are limitless, you are powerful, and you create your reality by your divine design. Now go out there and make some magic happen. And until next time, be well, be witchy.